Hi, folks. Today I am, well, I say this practically every time we do a program, but I am so excited to have Carol Due here, who heads up with her husband, Dunamis Ministries. And I've known Carol for quite a while. We were in a Bible study together when she and her husband used to live in San Diego, and then they moved away for a while, and now they're back in San Diego, which is a wonderful gift for us. And their ministry involves healing prayer, and they have gone all over the world with this, and they are involved in healing people spiritually and emotionally and physically. And one of the things that I really love to hear about with different ministries is all the miracles that happen, and I think we're going to hear about quite a few of them today. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, Sheila. I'm great. Thanks. Glad to be with talking with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm just excited to hear. I've never actually talked with you about how you got into this business.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I've thought about that. How exactly? You know, it's like I was just born into this, I think. Our ministry, Dunamis, is a play on the Greek word for power. In the Bible, the word is D-U-N-A-M-I-S, and it's that supernatural power of God. And our last name is Due, D-E-W, so you know, you just can't resist a play on words like that. And for me, I think I've just always been attracted to and attracting to myself people who are looking to grow emotionally, spiritually. And so for me, my biggest passion is the whole area of inner transformation, healing the brokenhearted and getting set free from the constraints that hold us back from destiny, that kind of thing. And then for Bill, when he got saved, which was only like 17 years ago, the first thing that happened was he prayed for me and I got physically healed, and that just sent him off like a rocket ship. And so together we've sort of combined this, and I teach a lot on inner healing, and together we teach a lot on physical healing, but our biggest passion is to see other people get equipped to do it, and it's just an amazing ride that we're on.
What do you say to people that say things like, well, the miracles are in the Bible, but they really don't happen today?
I say to them that a lot of people believe that's true because they haven't seen those things happen. But because they haven't seen them happen doesn't mean they aren't happening. And that, in fact, as we pursue it, we're seeing more and more of that. And that there's nothing in the Bible that indicates those things should have ever ceased. In fact, Jesus said, we're going to do the things he did and even greater. And he never put a time limit like, you know, when the last apostle dies, that'll be the end of it. It's just, it's supposed to be ever increasing. So the miracles, and then I'll tell them miracles that we've seen. And I don't know that they always believe or, you know, they have to process it. But the reality is God never intended for this to stop. And it's exciting to see the church today starting to reclaim our spiritual heritage.
Yeah, it certainly is. One of the other things that I run into often with Christians is, well, we're new in Christ, so those issues are no longer issues for us.
Oh, would that were so. You know, it's like this. I ask people who bring that kind of issue up, so who did Jesus die for? Well, the answer is the whole world. Well, is the whole world saved? No, why not? Because people haven't appropriated that salvation. And when we appropriate salvation, when we say yes to Jesus and invite him to be Lord and Savior of our life, the reality is those things are covered. It's just a matter of our appropriating that. It's like getting a gift and never opening it. And we need to open some things. And there are things that we have to take responsibility for. And as that happens, then we get freer and freer. And that scripture that's so often used, you know, I'm a new creation in Christ, all old things have passed away, all things are made new. The better translation of that, more true to the actual verb tense in the Greek, would be old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. So it's a continuing process. It's actually the process of sanctification. So we're justified when we're saved and we're made right with God. And then that process of sanctification, of growing more and more Christ-like, is a lifelong process.
When your husband prayed and you were healed, and he obviously at that point began to really go after healing other people, when did you get involved in that?
You know, it took a bit, because I just didn't think I had that gifting. I thought he did, and I didn't, and so there wasn't any point in my pursuing that. But I would, you know, I give him just so much credit and thanks for continuing to say to me, this is for everyone, and you need to start pursuing it as well. And so I would say within a couple of years of the transformation in his life, I ventured out to say, okay, I'm going to dare to try. In fact, where it really started was our 30th anniversary, and my mother wanted to send us on some romantic trip to celebrate our, you know, that auspicious date. And I said, you know what I'd really like to do is go with Bill on one of the international trips. At that point, he was traveling with a man named Randy Clark, who is an international healing evangelist. And he would come home month after month telling me all these stories. They'd be gone for a week or two at a time all around the world. And he'd come back telling me these stories of miracles, and I just finally said, I want to see this. And so I told my mother, what I'd really like to do is if you'd be willing to pay my way for me to go to Brazil with him. And that was where I saw my first true miracle at my own hands. And it was this woman who came up for prayer. She had on really thick glasses. And she just stood defiantly in front of me, and she said, I told God I'm not going home till I'm healed. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you sent her to the wrong person. Because we had 14 people on our team, and all of them had been moving in this kind of ministry, and I had not. And I thought, oh, why'd she come to me? And so I just, with no faith really, put my hand over her eyes and began to pray for her eyes to be healed. After a minute or so, took my hand off and said, okay, is there any difference? And, you know, I'm expecting to hear no. And she said, yeah, it's about 20% better. And I said, really? Well, let's try a little more then. And I prayed for her, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And at the end of that time, her eyesight was completely restored. And I was convinced that even I got to do this stuff.
Praise God.
Yeah. So well, that was pretty exciting.
Did you have any special training on how to do it, or did you just start praying for people?
And, you know, at that point, I really didn't have training. I mean, Bill had been traveling with Randy, and so he just was, it's sort of like the disciples walking with Jesus. You walk with someone that's doing it, and you start realizing they're not using any words I don't have. They're not doing anything I can't do. I mean, I'm not the healer anyway. Mm-hmm. It's God moving through me. It's just me making myself available. So, no, actually, I didn't really have any training. I just listened to Bill tell the stories of how he'd lay hands on someone and command a condition to be healed, or command pain to go, or invite Holy Spirit to come and release healing power from heaven. And, you know, I figured, okay, I can do that stuff. I didn't really believe it would happen, but I can say those things and do those things. And sure enough, there was God backing it up.
Praise God. This is going to be kind of a provocative question, but how much of that woman's healing do you think was her determination not to leave until she was healed and her belief that God could do it?
You know, that's a really good question. Definitely faith is an important factor in our lives. I mean, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And we've seen people healed who had a lot of faith and determination. We've seen people healed who didn't think anything would happen. You can't make a law out of any of it. I do know that more happens in an atmosphere of faith, but I would never say, well, I can't pray for somebody because they don't have faith, because I've seen people healed when they didn't, and even when I didn't. It's like God is just a God of such grace and mercy and compassion that if we'll make ourselves available, so much more will happen than we can even imagine.
Now, you said when I asked you about your ministry that your heart is with equipping people to do the same as you and Bill. How do you go about doing that?
You know, we go into, generally speaking, we go into a congregation that recognizes they want to move further in this whole area of the supernatural, especially in healing, and they will have heard of us. We only go by invitation. And So we'll go in for a weekend and we'll do some training on, you know, how do you heal, making it clear to people there's no model, there's no formula. We can give you the benefit of our own experience. We can encourage you with stories of healing that's going to raise your faith and give you greater confidence. And then we pray for impartation. We always do that. You know, the laying on of hands, we believe what the Bible says about, you know, the laying on of hands and the stirring up of the gifting in people. And then we activate people. We have them right there just start to put into practice what they've learned. And it's so fun to watch because so many of the people, it's not that they don't believe in healing. It's that they don't believe that they would be used in that. Mm-hmm. And to watch their eyes just get wide with excitement mm-hmm. when they pray for someone and they get healed. And, you know, we see it all ages. We teach children. We teach adults. Age is not a factor, nor is it a factor how long you've been a Christian. And we've seen people the same day they get healed. Well, same day they get saved. That's how it was with Bill. Immediately, that's available. And, of course, there's always the issue of character and gifting, and it's not either or. When someone says, well, you know, I don't want to get involved in that because I don't want to get proud or whatever, and we'll say, so really what you want to do is be an obedient follower of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Jesus commanded the disciples to heal. Mm-hmm. And then he told them to go and teach and disciple the nations to do what he had taught them. So really, if you're serious about wanting to follow him obediently, healing's in the package.
Wow.
Yeah.
That puts it right where it is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the most amazing miracles you've seen?
You know what? It just keeps getting better and better. It's like we started out and we were thrilled when someone's headache got healed, and we mm-hmm. still are. But let me tell you some of the things we're seeing today. Just in the last month, we went to a place up in Northern California, and there was a man there. What we'll do is just start calling out words of knowledge that we've gotten for conditions that, you know, God's revealing to us that people in the room have and that he wants to heal, and we'll have them stand up, and that will start the healing process and raise the faith, and then we'll just have everybody stand who wants healing in their body and start activating the people in the congregation to lay hands on them and pray for them, kind of under our direction. And so we were doing that, and then Bill stops and he says, okay, who's been healed already? And people wave and wave their hands, we'll take testimonies. Well, this man just walks up right in front of Bill and he puts his hands together, you know, fingers facing each other, mm-hmm. sort of in a prayer manner. Mm-hmm. And Bill looked at him and he's kind of laughing. He's going, yeah, what are you saying? A finger grew out? And the man said, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. He had about 14 years earlier, he had chopped off about half an inch on the end of his little finger in an industrial accident. And as he stood up, because Bill said, if you have anything you want healed, he said, you know, I just thought, why not? And so he stood up, and there was this young guy about 20 years old who was praying for him. And the way they described it, his finger plumped. The end of it just plumped, and then it shot out.
Wow.
I know, wow. I wanted to see that happen so badly. They're describing this. And then we get an email from the pastor a couple weeks later, and he said the fingernail is there, the whole thing, it's just completely new. That was really exciting.
Wow.
Then just a couple of weeks ago, we were down in Brazil, and we saw two people. One was a man, I would guess 40-ish. He had multiple operations for cancer, and there was something, and I don't even know what it was, about his brain. Well, he was in a wheelchair. His legs were paralyzed, it was in relationship to the surgeries and the treatments that he'd had. He had not been able to stand or walk for 6 months, and one of our team members prayed for him. He got up out of the wheelchair. He not only stood, he walked, and he walked out of that sanctuary that day.
Praise God.
Without his wheelchair. And then there was the next day there was a meeting, and there was a 95-year-old woman. She had broken her legs in several places, and, you know, that healed, but she was no longer walking or even standing. She'd been in the wheelchair for 3 years. She had not been able to stand or walk for the last 8 months. And one of our team members prayed for her, and she got up and walked.
Wonderful.
And then one thing that's starting to happen, and this is just bizarre. People who have metal in their body, like metal plates, metal screws, you know, for whatever reason, they've had to have metal put in their body. And for some people, there's not a problem. For others, there can be continual pain. There can be really limited mobility or flexibility. Well, God has started healing that in meetings, and we don't really know what's happening. In one meeting in Sacramento, about 3 weeks ago, I guess now, somebody stood for a healing in their body. They had metal, they had screws, they had whatever. And at the end of the prayer, they had a dent where they had been able to feel the screw before. The screw wasn't there anymore. They couldn't find it.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody else who had extremely limited mobility, it was in their neck, and they couldn't really turn their neck. They had to turn their body in order to see from another angle. All of a sudden, their head's just going back and forth. And, you know, they didn't know, and we haven't heard, they didn't know at that point, is the metal gone or has it just become flexible? It's just amazing.
It is amazing.
Oh my gosh.
That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. We serve an awesome God.
Oh, he is.
An awesome God. Now, I was just doing the math here, and you said you had been married for 30 years?
No, well, that was 10 years ago. We've been married 41 now.
41 years. And 17 years ago, your husband came to the Lord?
Yes.
So you were married to an unbeliever for 20 some odd years?
Well, actually, neither one of us were believers when we got married. And then I got saved and then got filled with the Holy Spirit. And meanwhile, he was unsaved. And I used to lie in bed at night while he was sleeping and just real softly put my hand on his back and pray, God, get him. God, get him. And God got him. He actually ended up coming to a meeting at my church that I was doing, and he just got powerfully touched by God.
Praise and God.
That was it. As he tells the story, he said, that night, as I got so touched by God, you know, he was standing, and the power of God hit him, and he was trembling violently from the waist down. But he was completely still from the waist up, and he said, I've tried since then to do that, and you just can't do that. And he said, after that happened, he said, I knew that everything my wife had been telling me, that Jesus is alive, and he heals today, and you can have a relationship with him. He said, when she'd say those things, I'd just roll my eyes. He said, I knew it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd talk about healing for today, and I'd roll my eyes. And he said, I knew it was true. So, yeah, I mean, there were many years that I was saved and he was not, but originally neither of us were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you prayed many, many years for him to come into the kingdom.
And I had my little SWAT team praying for him, too. He was a marked man.
He was surrounded.
He had no hope.
Yeah. Well, I'd love for you to give information to our listening audience about how they can contact your ministry, and if you have a schedule of where you're going to be speaking around the country, how they could get that kind of information.
Yep, that's all on our website, and it's Dunamis, DEWNAMIS.com. And Bill does a good job of keeping our itinerary up to date. So, yeah, people can see we go around the United States as well as around the world. So we'd love for people to join us if we're somewhere near them.
Absolutely. Are you planning anything for the Southern California area?
Well, we just this past weekend did a SOZO conference. A school. I'm thinking, what do we have? We're talking with somebody, a pastor, but it's not on the calendar yet, so keep an eye out for it, about an Angels and Miracles conference. We partner with a couple that are friends of ours that see in the spirit realm, that have been touched by God, and they see the angels and see the demonic, and, you know, it just gives, I feel like I operate by Braille so much of what I'm doing because I don't see in that realm. But we get together and we do these conferences, and just the supernatural invades, and it's so much fun. So I think we'll be doing that one in San Diego within the next 6 months or so.
Great.
So,
and what
that'd be a fun one to come to.
Yeah. What is a SOZO school?
SOZO is the Greek word for salvation, but it doesn't just mean like so many people think, you know, when I die, I go to heaven. It means heaven starts now in me. And so it's the fullness of what Christ died for us to have, healing physically, emotionally, spiritually, wholeness, peace, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so when I teach SOZO, I'm taking people past the constraints that have held them back, past the broken places in their hearts that, you know, keep them from being all that God designed them to be, and just really getting set free. So it's, if I had to put it in a couple of sentences, I would say SOZO ministry is about bringing Jesus to the place in our heart that has been hurt so that we can get healing there, mm-hmm. and then bringing the person to the place of taking responsibility for their responses to that hurt, you know, mm-hmm. believing the lies of the enemy, making agreement with the enemy about ungodly attitudes and those kinds of things, and just breaking free from that and getting further along in our destinies. So when we do the SOZO schools, we not only see people get healed, but we see people get equipped to be healers of the brokenhearted.
Praise God. So many people don't understand if they've been victimized, how they agree with the enemy.
That is so true.
And they just don't see it. And until that cycle is kind of broken off a person, and they can begin to take control over how they, the lies they're believing and no longer believe those, I think healing is almost impossible. And I think that's where secular healing has such a hard time, because it doesn't really deal on that level.
Exactly. In fact, you know, something interesting I read, and this was a secular article, that apparently about 80% of diseases that people have, doctors can treat the symptoms, but they can't cure it because mm-hmm. they don't even know the cause of it. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is it's not a physiological cause. Mm-hmm. It's emotional and spiritual. And until you get to that component, you're not going to see true healing manifest. Mm-hmm. You can just manage your symptoms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you and your husband are just awesome blessings to the people that come in contact with you.
We are every bit as blessed.
Praise God for you and your ministry here in these United States. I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Thanks, Sheila. We just love what we get to do, and daily just thank God in amazement that we get to live this life.
What I'd love to do is talk to you in about a year and hear about more miracles. Can we do that?
You bet, because I know they're going to just get greater and greater.
Great.
Well,
thanks.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks so much, Sheila. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't hang up.
Okay. I thought I wouldn't.
So
I figured you'd cut that recording off, but you'd still be there.
Yeah, well, he'll kind of edit it. So do you feel okay about that?
Yeah, I do.
I thought it was
great. Were you okay
great.
With it?
Oh, yeah. Thought it was great. I love the whole purpose of this show is for people to hear about miracles happening and for women to be encouraged in the area of ministry to minister right where they are, that they don't need to be have degrees in divinity or be pastors or anything like that. They can just minister right where they are.
That's right.
So I love the fact that you didn't have any special training. You just started praying for healing and it happened.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the disciples didn't either. I mean, admittedly, they were in the school of Jesus, but then so are we. We're in the school of Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I missed your thing this weekend. That's what I'm upset about. I will check your website regularly because I'd like to go to the Angels
and Miracles. Miracles, yeah. That's going to be a fun conference.
Yeah.
Is that with Pat Hollering?
No, it's Gary and Kathy Oates. They're in Moravian Falls, North Carolina.
I just read their book.
Did you?
Kathy's book. I just read it.
It's
awesome.
Well, that's them.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask on the air, is that Kathy Oates? But I thought, well, no, because, you know, maybe it's not, and then, you know.
Yeah, throw everything off. But it is.
Oh, great. Well, I would look forward to that.
Yeah, we're talking to Barry Sappington at Cross Point down in La Mesa.
Uh-huh.
About, you know, possibly scheduling that. We were talking to a pastor up here in the North County, and he really wanted to have it, but the dates that we, you know, the two couples of us had available didn't work for them, and we thought, well, we don't want to wait till next year. Not that we can't do it again here next year, but we wanted to pursue something for this year. So we're talking to Barry.
Wonderful. Well, that'll be very exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll be doing more SOZO schools in San Diego, so just keep an eye out for that too.
I will.
Yeah.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us.
Oh, well, this was fun, and just bless your ministry, Sheila. I think it's awesome you're doing this and just opening up, you know, people's minds and possibilities for them, and that's really good.
Well,
Adam, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, thank Adam. Mostly thank Adam.
Yes, Adam, you make it possible. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a blessed day, Carol.
You too, and we'll talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.